Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our coming Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will come in glory to bring an end to sin, death, the power of the devil, and wipe every tear from our eyes. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's Advent at the seminary. There are Christmas parties, Christmas celebrations, shopping, vacation planning, and, of course, all kinds of things such as readings and papers and classes. Oh my! Makes you kind of want to throw up your hands in the air and say, doesn't it, brothers, what shall we do? There's a whole kind of subtle desperation in all of this, wondering how it is you can possibly get it all done without dropping one or more of the balls that you are juggling. There's a kind of another kind of despair which is going on in the words of our text this morning. Brothers, what shall we do? These were spoken by the people who had heard the very first Christian sermon, according to Dr. Luther. And in response to that very first text out of Joel, their response was, "Oh my Lord, we killed the Messiah." And so the only reaction possible was, "Brothers, what shall we do?" By the power of the Holy Spirit, in the preaching of God's word, they had just received something that they had never had before, a trust in the Messiah, and they wanted to know what they could do. Peter's first reaction is to say the words of all kinds of words, among which are, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the promise is for you and for your children." Their reaction, though, is not untypical for us. As a matter of fact, when we also face problems and we realize we've done something or made a mistake or perhaps done something even worse, we want to know how we're going to fix it. After all, don't we say the same thing? Okay, what can I do to make it better? What should we do? As a matter of fact, that's especially male kind of thing. When our wives come to us and are all upset about one thing or another, we want to know, what can we do to fix it? Brothers, what shall we do? We sometimes respond, what is it that we need to do? People think that sins and mistakes are something that can be recovered from, something that you can repair if you just work double time and figure out a path around the problem. We might even figure that the governor of Illinois is thinking something pretty similar at the moment. How can I get myself out of this mess? And they think that maybe if we say something kind, perhaps if we make some kind of a grand apology on national TV or in our own homes, that everything will just go away and be better. Or maybe if it is that we didn't spend enough time with our kids because we were involved in one thing or another, that if we just get them a bigger and nicer and more sophisticated toy for Christmas, that everything will all go away. We're sometimes tempted to believe that too as Christians, even those engaged in preaching or in preparing to preach or to bring acts of mercy. We are tempted to believe that if we work hard enough, we can fix it. After all, it does seem to work, doesn't it? Well, sometimes anyway. If we just came to realize that, however, you can't fix some things. Sin is not something that can be papered over, repaired by adding 6 or 7 good works as if throwing them on the scale can outweigh what we've done before. As in the Middle Ages, we might think that if we have enough indulgences, we can escape purgatory or the results of our sin. But the truth is that God does not see things that way. Without Christ, the verdict is go to hell, go directly to hell, do not pass heaven, do not collect 200 indulgences. God is calling for something completely different. He wants us to change our minds. for all our Greek experts, you know that's what metanoia means. Repentance is all about not saying, gee, I'm awfully sorry, but is all about saying, I want to be a different kind of person. The catch, of course, we all realize, having taken Dr. Scare and other systematics classes here, is we can't do it by ourselves. We cannot change our minds no matter how hard we try. We may be able to improve the way we handle ourselves in public a little bit, but a change of mind and a change of heart only comes from the work of God Himself in Jesus Christ our Lord. It was, after all, the reason why He came that first Christmas, was to come to be born to die so that we might live forever, so that not only can our sins be paid for, but that the power can be given to us through His word and through the sacraments to actually really change our minds and to begin to serve Him as He wishes. God's promise of forgiveness through the sacrifice of His Son is really where the power comes from to change our lives and to live differently. God promises this not only to us and to our children, but to all who are His, wherever they may be throughout the world. He gives us that forgiveness through His Spirit, in His Word, in His water, and through the breaking of His bread. It is there that we can find the power to answer the question, what shall we do? Part of the answer is, it's already been done for us, so, you know, kind of nothing. But on the other side, it's everything, because there is where the power comes to change, to be people that actually want to serve God and to serve our neighbor, to be people who really think about others first rather than ourselves first, to be the kinds of people that God really wants, people who love Him and our neighbor and look forward to His coming. It is in these power and these gifts that we can walk the way that God wants us to. But we don't have to walk it alone. For as this passage points out to us, these gifts are not kind of lowered into our lives out of the sky and then left with us to be all by ourselves, but are given to us within the brotherhood and sisterhood of Christ Himself, in His body, where together we gather to hear God's word, to receive His sacraments, to pray for each other, and to walk the way that He has for us to walk. It's in this fellowship that, especially at Advent, we can look forward to the day when we don't have to ever ask the question, what should we do? Because everything will have been done. Because on that day when Christ does return from heaven, all sorrow and sin and crying and pain will pass away. And on that day, in the great fellowship of the saints, we will be able to gather and to thank God for all the gifts He has given us, including those of being able to walk the way He wishes us to walk in the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all.